Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Munizing, Chapter 32. In this installment, Yogi and Amrik have taken a bus and are heading now towards the foothills of the Himalayas. They joined the bus on time. It kept on revving over long for India's perennial latecomers. Men well-turbaned, beards dyed, pressed and primped, and women in salwar kameez timelessly chosen. Amrik's beard was still just half an artwork, stuck with fixer and squeezed in a sling of cotton, compressing the chin and jowls till whiskers dried. In this bandana, he might have been an outlaw in a well-cut suit about to rob a bank. There were others like him, also running on time, sporting the chin bandana with one more strip across top lip to glue a twirled moustache. They entered two by two and in groups. None came sadhu solo like roaming yogi. Grisht ashram, household life, and their ideal followed Guru Nanak. He had two sons, the founder said, get married to nine more Nanaks. Amrik chuckled, fire and ashes, yogi? Family is the toughest yoga school. Amrik further elaborated how, among the Vedic sages, rishis wed and munis were only married to themselves. Guruji said, stay home, make your ashram. You are the temple, you are priest of it. Yogi remembered the paper in his pocket. Can we stop? I need to post a letter. They halted at industrial area phase two. While Yogi debouched, others went for snacks. Amrik sent a boy to bring a paper and soon was reading between the tribune's lines. Yogi was ever a source for staring eyes, a white agora, a foreigner in white chola with his rakish rishi locks and ragged beard. They rarely saw outsiders in Punjab, except at the Golden Temple, hours northwest. Perhaps one day he'd also go to visit. Soon the Hemkund travel tour's coach was skirting the edge of Chandigarh and charging 3 hours or so away to Paunta Sahib. Amrik was done, so Yogi flicked through the paper. Waist high, in wheat, on page one, Surdev Singh's hands are praising the monsoon. Election feature, page five. See the double V for victory fingers, the opposition BJP. The ad below, Government Congress Party symbol, a palmistry hand or Buddha's fronting the Indian flag. And tucked, corner right, Mohan Singh Khalistani is slain today, a police encounter. On page 11, Punjabi tourism, Bhangra dancers, goat skip with photo smiles. Ravi Shankar plays to standing ovation at the Tagore Theatre last night. Bridal highlights have been brought to you by Mendi Fashions, and a model shows off earrings, chin soft as a fawn, propped on her palm. Chapati mothers are cooking dough rounds in the Ludhiana regional section, and singing women throw up wheat chaff to dispatch the evil eye. Lakshman Singh, home from England, wears Manchester United t-shirt to milk his childhood buffalo, while a big red Mahindra tractor is shifting gears into new era Punjab agriculture, full page advertorial. After the classifieds, thin labourers from Bihar are still weeding paddy in Amritsar. A Dalit woman steadies on her head a fertiliser sack with dermatitis hands. A farmer with cancer hides head in palms as tube well sucks up uranium and mercury. And Sachin Tendulkar, double century cricket god, on the back page waves bat like Durga's victory sword. The bus moved fast, heading across farmland through Zirikpur, Narengar to Kala Amb, meaning black mango, a village on the slopes. In these Shivalik hills, just on past Nahan, the bus began to pull hard up the road, winding python-esque through the terrain. "Look there, quick!" Yogi pointed to Amrik. It was a spotted deer and wet-nosed fawn. They'd stopped to nibble grass outside the tree line and blinked a timeless moment at the bus until it shifted through its clunk of gears. And the fleet footed to evaporated back into the soul shadows of a never was. The bus took daredevil chances on the down bends to test Punjabi courage. No one flinched. Yogi gripped his armrests, forcing a smile each time they switched direction on the slalom. Then Bhangra Pop attacked through the loudspeakers. A family with teens said, "Balle, balle," pointing exuberant digits to the ceiling as swaying bodies squeaked on vinyl seats. Finally, one grave siddhar with flowing beard across the aisle asked for Shabad Kirtan. "This is a yatra, brother," he rationalized. The toff-like Londoner, an NRI, non-resident Indian, thought Yogi.
"Take care, uncle,"
yelled the turban driver. The kids kept quiet. The elder can't be challenged. Mellifluous voices climbed the raga ladder, matching sound with sense. London Singh kept beating time. Yogi tried to follow, as if drinking rare liqueur in the darkness. Heart had quaffed, intellect needed to join, molecules of meaning. Words bring ownership. As Amrik dozed, he leaned across the aisle. "Hi, I'm from Australia. Could you translate?" He sniffed the hippie sadhu up and down. London Singh was no longer from here. A math professor? He'd done well abroad and deigned to teach the straggly foreigner. Yogi jotted the translation in his journal, then shaped them into verses, passing the time. "You read with your mouth, not with your mind. Ram hasn't set up home in there. You tell the people, be firm, have faith. But come on, be honest, do you practice? Hey, pundit, it's time. Dive into the Vedas. Busy yourself. House clean your anger. You've put down the stone god in front, but your mind wanders in 10 directions. You put the tilak paste on his forehead, then bow and scrape at the idol's feet. You try to fool the people, but are blind, giving lectures on the 6 systems, spreading out your cute white cloth, wearing a dhoti, color of a lion's skin. In rich houses, you are always busy reciting scriptures, telling your beads, then asking for your fee. Wake up, friend. You can't save yourself or save another. A real scholar? He takes up the shabad. Then the 3 gunas can leave the building. Nanak looks for the sanctuary of the one inside whose name the Vedas still reside." His version was new moss greening the stone. Not bad, thought Yogi, passing it over the aisle for prof's approval. He read,
"Yes, very good. But it can hardly match how Guru sang it. Gurbani is a piece of the formlessness, a hummingbird shard split off from the truth. It was cognized through the Guru's pen, not expounded by some follower. Sounding his word turns lead mines to gold. We recite and listen daily to become." "Yours isn't bad. You've caught some basics." There was praise here, but the praise was faint.
Yogi let the professor attend his wife and hunted about the bus with dingo eyes. More Sikhs from Canada, Singapore, and Malaysia were chattering in the patois of diasporas. City-fied, they looked down on the rustics. Half wore turbans, others were shorn goats with beards shaved off, avoiding the guru's code. Most men were western-dressed like Amrik Singh,
Farmers wore cotton kurta pajamas, virtuous for old age or the born again. Families, picnic-packed, with rowdy kids, proved the Indian tolerance for whiners. A Sikh masala, the middle-aged and zealous, were clubbed in groups, pining for mild adventure. Amrik woke up. Santaji, how are you? There was a hidden sarcasm in his tone, using that name. It had been there all along, but naivety had kept the yogi blinkered. The Sikhs that he had met were serious men. Their Mahabharata was the daily battle for bread, remembering Guru, doing some good. Ideas were dead on the vine. They needed land. The more he saw, they seemed volatile, ready to bungara now or to be stern, clearly measuring others by their works. Flowing hair and joblessness? Just weakness. Yes, holy men in robes were mostly bogus. I'm fine, he said. So why had Amrik brought him? Yogi felt cornered. A battle was beginning. To see the jobs, just close your eyes and shrug off paths you didn't take. So many ways to fall, not rise. He'd thought the office jobs unwise. Boredom feared some big mistake. To classifieds he'd closed his eyes. He thought investment paths were lies. The cycle of earn to eat more cake was a dead man route to fall, not rise. Having no debts, you have no ties. Avoid the shackles, avoid what's fake. He'd hit the road, but shut both eyes. He'd learned to drift and improvise. Her love for him forced him awake, but she had to let him fall, not rise. The promise of insight was the prize, like trekking to the snowy lake. Would glacial glare now blind his eyes? His way ahead might fall or rise. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. Do join me next week for another installment. If you'd like to check out more of my work, go to my website at chrismooneysingh.com or follow the link in the program notes. See you next week.